Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and blessed that God woke me up this morning, because I did not want to get out of bed today. I just tell you like it was. Did not want to get up. I was up packing last night and lost track of time and just kind of like, okay, God, I know I got to get out of my bed this morning. But I don't want to get up. I don't want to get up. And it's like, okay, God, work a girl. Tell me what to do. And because he woke me up early, early this morning with a word for this morning. And I thought, wow, God, that's a good word. And we're going to be coming out of our Psalms chapter 29 for our word today. I went a little further than and put all of it in because I just liked the words. It was just that good. And it's give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We got to worship God in the beauty of holiness. There is nothing like our God. He is so good. And he loves us so much. What can you say then when you have a love like that? You know, God wants the best for us, you know, and he wants us to be the best us. You know, we don't want to just keep doing the same thing over and over, thinking we'll have a different result. Whew. I'm just filled up, Mother. You know, I woke up this morning with prayer, and the prayer that I wake up with is a daily prayer I get on YouTube. And this morning I shared my prayer to some friends, and you know, because it's just something about prayer. It changes your feelings. It changes your sleep. You know, I go to sleep on a YouTube that is the 91st Psalm and the 23rd Psalm and the 121st Psalm, and it's something about those Psalms that just give you peaceful rest. And so I thank God for peaceful rest this morning and for waking me up. So just want to say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And, you know, my son has to go out this morning and just want God to keep him safe from all hurt, harm, and danger and spirits, you know, that try to jump on folks when you go out, you know. So we're just praying against the spirit of confusion this morning.
Amen.
And as we get ready to go in our word today, we are going to be in the book of Leviticus, chapter 26 and 27. And our psalm this morning is the 29th psalm, verses 1 through 6. Our proverb this morning is chapter 10, verses 22 through 25. And we are coming out of Mark, chapter 7, verses 1 through 13. And on our website for Blog Talk Radio, I did put the entire 29th Psalm on the website, even though we're only going to be reading verses 29, verses 1 through 6. And our title is coming out of verse number 2 of the 29th Psalm. And it's just one of those verses that takes you to the throne. It takes you to the throne, Mother. You know, give unto the Lord the glory due his name, not my name, not your name, not pastor's name, not elder's name, not the deacon's name, but his name. You know, the name of the Lord, Jehovah, Yahweh. you know, the name of the Lord, Emmanuel, you know, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, you know, the name of the Lord, that's who we give honor to. Give do his name, not ours. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. So thanking God again. And Mother Valerie, I am going to turn it over to you to pray us in and take us to the throne.
Good morning, people of God. This is a beautiful, beautiful morning. God is so good. Temperature is 20 degrees. And God is so great. He's a great God. He's a good God. He allowed us to have temperatures of 82, and I think that was Tuesday. The temperature was 82, and today the temperature is 20 degrees. I say, God is really good. He did it again. Father God, in Jesus' name, we want to thank and praise you for who you are. We want to thank and praise you for this day, for this is the day that you've made. We shall rejoice glad in it. Bless Pastor Bridget as she traveled with her mom. Bless Pastor Jesse, Pastor Washington, all the pastors of Table Life Ministries. And God, we will give you honor, praise, and glory. We thank you for waking us up because the clock didn't wake us up. You did. And we give you glory, honor, and praise for allowing us to get it right, start another day in Jesus' name. She was talking about the names of God, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha, Jehovah Nisi, Jehovah Shalom, Jehovah Ra, Jehovah Tishkenu, Jehovah Shammah, Jehovah Uza, Jehovah Bor, Jehovah Elyon. Those are the same names of God, some of the names, and the great I Am. He's always I Am. I am who I am. He's God. He's your Father. And God, he's just good. He's good all the time. I'm in Leviticus 26 and 1. You should not make idols for yourself. Pillars shall you rear up for yourself, nor shall you set up an engraved stone in your land to bow down to it. Why would anybody want to bow down to a stone? People did strange things back in the day, and they do strange things in this day. For I am the Lord your God. You should keep my Sabbath, reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. When God speaks to you about the Sabbath, and he don't spoke maybe two or three times, Sabbath rest for you, Sabbath rest for the land. When he repeats things, then you know that it's most important. When God repeats this again and again, it's important. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and perform them, then I will give you rain in its season. The land shall yield its produce, and the trees of the field shall yield their fruit, and shall last till the time of vintage, and the vintage shall last till the time of sowing. You shall eat your bread to the full, dwell in your land safely. I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none will make you afraid. Isn't that beautiful? Thinking that you can, well, lock your door and just get in your bed, go to sleep. And sleep to me is like death, because you don't know anything. You lie down, you go to sleep, and he said, none will make you afraid. Nobody or nothing. I will rid the land of evil beasts, and the sword will not go through your land. You chase your enemies, and they shall fall by the sword before you. Isn't that beautiful? If you got enemies back in the day, they will fall because God was with you. And if you just know that you know that you know that God is with you, you don't have to be afraid of your enemies. Look, five of you shall chase 100, and 100 of you shall put 10,000 to flight. Five, just five people who will chase 100. You know that's God. You know that you know that that's God. Your enemies shall fall by the sword before you, for I will look on you favorably and make you fruitful, multiply you, and confirm my covenant with you. You shall not eat the old harvest and clear out the old because of the new. I will set my tabernacle among you, and my soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you and be your God, and you shall be my people. Isn't that amazing that back in the day, God walked among them, Adam and Eve. He said, where are you? I mean, God was walking among the people. To me, that's amazing. The great God who made the heaven and the earth, he's our Father. And he walked with his children. He walked among them. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be their slaves. I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you walk upright. But if you do not obey me and do not observe all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, or if your soul abhors my judgment, you do not perform all my commandments but break my covenant, I will also do this to you. I will even appoint terror over you, wasting disease and fever, which shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of the heart. You shall not sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I'll set my face against you, and you shall be defeated by your enemies. Those who hate you shall reign over you, and you shall flee when no one pursues you. And after all of this, if you do not obey me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heavens like iron and your earth like brass, and your strength shall be spent in vain. For your land shall not yield its produce, nor shall the trees of the land yield their fruit. That's why God said, honor. Honor your father and your mother so you can live long. Whoever curses father and mother shall die. And this is God. God is our Father. And he's telling you what he's going to do to you, too. And if you don't obey, and he's telling you the good things that will happen to you if you do obey. So then if you walk contrary to me, are not willing to obey me, I will bring on you seven times more plagues according to your sin. I will also send wild beasts among you, which shall rob you of your children, destroy your livestock, you few in number. Your highways shall be desolate. And if by these things you are not reformed by me, but walk contrary to me, then I will also will walk contrary to you. And I will punish you yet seven times for your sin. I will bring a sword against you that will execute the vengeance of the covenant when you are gathered together within your cities. I will send pestilence among you. You shall be delivered to the hand of the enemy. When I have cut off your supply of bread, 10 women shall bake your bread in one oven, and they shall bring back your bread by weight, and you shall eat and not, and you shall eat and not be satisfied. You can eat all you want and continually to eat, but you won't be satisfied. And after all this, if you do not obey me, or walk contrary to me, then I will also walk contrary to you in fury. And I will chasten you seven times for your sins. You shall eat the flesh of your sons. You shall eat the flesh of your sons, and you shall eat the flesh of your daughters. I will destroy your high places, cut down your incense altars, cast your carcasses on the lifeless forms of your idols, and my soul shall abhor you. I will lay your cities waste and bring your sanctuaries to desolation, and I will not smell the fragrance of your sweet aroma. I will bring the land to desolation, and your enemies who dwell in it shall be astonished at it. I will scatter you among the nations and draw out a sword after you. I don't want to be an enemy of God. I don't think nobody would want to be God's enemy. You want to have the favor of Almighty God. Your land shall be desolate and your cities waste. Then the land shall enjoy its Sabbath as long as it lies desolate, and you are in your enemy's hand. Then the land shall rest and enjoy its Sabbath as long as it lies desolate. It shall rest for the time it did not rest on your Sabbath when you dwell in it. As for those of you who are left, I will send faintness into the hearts and the lands of their enemies. The sound of a shaken leaf shall cause them to flee. You can hear the leaves blowing and you be running, scared. Somebody's chasing you. I want to find favor with God. I want God to say, well done. I do not want to be an enemy of God. Listen to all the things that will happen to you if you disobey. They shall flee as though fleeing from a sword, and they shall fall when no one pursues. They shall stumble over one another as if it were before a sword when no one pursues. You shall have no power to stand before your enemies. You shall perish among the nations, and the land of your enemies shall eat you up. Those of you who are left shall waste away in their iniquity in your enemies' lands. Also in their father's iniquities, which are with them, they shall waste away. But if they confess their iniquities and the iniquities of their fathers with their unfaithfulness in which they were unfaithful to me, and that they also have walked contrary to me, and that I also have walked contrary to them, have brought them into the land of their enemies, if their uncircumcised hearts are humble and they accept their guilt, then I will remember my covenant with Jacob and my covenant with Isaac and my covenant with Abraham. I will remember the land. This is God talking. The land also shall be left empty by them and will enjoy its Sabbath while it lays desolate without them. They will accept their guilt because they despise my judgment and because their souls abhor my statutes. Yet for all of that, when they are in the land of their enemies, I will not cast them away, nor shall I abhor them to utterly destroy them and break my covenants with them. For I am the Lord their God. But for their sakes, I will remember the covenant of their ancestors, when I brought out of the land of Egypt in the sight of the nations, that I might be their God. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. Like children have to obey their fathers, we have to obey God. Look at all the beautiful things he's saying that he will do if you obey. And then look at the things that he's saying that will happen to you if you don't obey. Give unto the Lord the glory. Do his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. That's the title for today. I mean, we need to worship God. We need to know who God is. God is a just God. Everything he do is right, and the Lord. These are the statutes and judgments and laws which the Lord made between himself and the children of Israel on Mount Sinai by the hand of Moses. Now the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when a man consecrate by a vow certain persons to the Lord according to your valuation, if your valuation is of a male from 20 years old up to 60 years old, then your valuation shall be 50 shekels of silver, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. If it is a female, then your valuation shall be 30 shekels. And if from 5 years old up to 20 years old, then your valuation for a male should be 20 shekels, and for a female, 10 shekels. And if for a month old up to 5 years old, then your valuation for a male should be 5 shekels of silver. For a female, your valuation shall be 3 shekels of silver. And if from 60 years old and above, if it is a male, then your valuation shall be 15 shekels. For a female, 10 shekels. But if he's too poor to pay your valuation, then he shall present himself before the priest, and the priest shall set a value for him. According to the ability of him who vow, the priest shall value him. If it is an animal that men may bring as an offering to the Lord, all that anyone gives to the Lord shall be holy. He shall not substitute it or exchange it, good for bad or bad for good. And if he at all exchange animal for animal, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. If it is an unclean animal which they do not offer as a sacrifice to the Lord, then he shall present the animal before the priest, and the priest shall set a value for it. whether it is good or bad. As you, the priest, value it, so it shall be. But if he wants at all to redeem it, then he must add one-fifth to your valuation. And when a man dedicates his house to be holy to the Lord, then the priest shall set a value for it, whether it is good or bad, as the priest values it, so it shall stand. If he who dedicates it wants to redeem his house, then he must add one-fifth of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall be his. If a man dedicates to the Lord part of a field of his possession, then your valuation shall be according to the seed for it. A homer of barley seed shall be valued at 50 shekels of silver. If he dedicates his field from the year of Jubilee, according to your valuation, it shall stand. But if he dedicates his field after the Jubilee, then the priest shall reckon to him the money due according to the years that it remains to the year of Jubilee, and it shall be deducted from your valuation. And if he who dedicates the field ever wish to redeem it, then he must add one-fifth of the money of your valuation to it, and it shall belong to him. But if he does not want to redeem the field, or if he has sold the field to another man, it should not be redeemed anymore. But the field, when it is released in the Jubilee, shall be holy to the Lord as a devoted field. It shall be the possession of the priest. If a man dedicates to the Lord a field which he has bought, which is not the field of his possession, then the priest shall reckon to him the worth of your valuation up to the year of Jubilee. Should give your valuation on that day as a holy offering to the Lord. In the year of Jubilee, the field shall return to him from whom it was bought, to the one who owned the land as a possession. And all your valuation shall be according to the shekel of the sanctuary, 10 gerahs to the shekel. But the firstborn of the animals, which should be the Lord's firstborn, no man shall dedicate, whether it's an ox, sheep, it is the Lord. And if it is an unclean animal, he shall redeem it according to your valuation and should add one-fifth to it. And if it is not redeemed, then it shall be sold according to your valuation. Nevertheless, no devoted offering that a man may devote to the Lord at all that he has, both man and beast, or the field of his possession shall be sold or redeemed. Every devoted offering is most holy to the Lord. No person under the ban who may become doomed to destruction among men shall be redeemed, but shall surely be put to death. And all the tithe of the land, whether of seed of the land or of fruit of the tree, is the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. If a man wants at all to redeem any of his tithe, he shall add one-fifth to it. So if you want to get your tithes back and use them, I guess that's what it means. You're going to have to add one-fifth to it when you, give it back. And concerning the tithe of the herd, the flock, or whatever passes on the rod, the tenth, one shall be holy to the Lord. He shall not inquire whether it is good or bad, nor shall he exchange it, or if he exchange it at all, then both it and the one exchanged for it shall be holy. It should not be redeemed. These are the commandments which the Lord commanded Moses for the children of Israel on Mount Sinai. I mean, God, that in all of his dealings and everything God do, he's very specific in everything. Life lessons, what the Bible say about tithing and giving, Leviticus 27:30-33. And God himself for, that's what I was saying, very specific directions about what he expects us to give back to him. Go to Malachi 3:8-12. Clearly teaches that we are to give him a tithe, which is 10%. The word tithe is based on the number 10 in Hebrew. Offerings were gifts, often of material goods, given above and beyond the tithe. People normally made offerings for a specific reason to meet a special need, for example, or the thanksgiving for a special blessing. Children of Israel gave such a generous offering at the time they did the tabernacle that Moses actually had to tell them to stop giving. Wouldn't that be something, the Table Life Ministry? We have given so much, so much. Pastor Jesse said, stop. Stop the giving. Don't give no more. Please don't give no more. Maybe that will happen. Maybe I will see a day when we've given so much that the giving will stop. Boy, Moses actually had to tell them to stop giving. Exodus 35:4-7. The tithe is given to God from our increase and for our increase. It is the way we open the door of our finances to give and then to receive God's blessings. When we give the first tenth of our earnings back to God, we return to him what was his in the first place and what he had asked us to give to him so that he might give us even more. Can nobody outbeat God giving? There's a song, you can't beat God in giving. The more you give to him, he's just going to give you more. So you really can't beat God in giving. And just like the title said, given to the Lord, the glory that's due his name, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. We can't beat God in giving. The Lord is very specific in the way we are to give our tithes and offerings. God is specific in everything, clean, clean, unclean. He's specific in every single thing. He wants us to be perfect or grow to be perfect because he's perfect. God is perfect. And while we're on this earth journey, we have to grow. We want to grow to be like Jesus. None of us are perfect. Well, we're still in the oven being baked and cooked, and we have to grow. And when we make a mistake, we don't stay down. Just ask God to forgive you for anything that you might have done. The Lord is very specific in the way we are to give our tithes and offerings. First, we are to bring them into his storehouse. Generally, that meant his tabernacle or the temple in the Old Testament and the church in the New Testament. We are to give our tithes wherever we regularly worship the Lord. You don't go to the Table Life and then give your tithes to Abundant Faith. That wouldn't be right. It's to give your tithes to wherever you worship the Lord, not to a mere charitable work, but to a work that bears the Lord's name. And second, we are to make our gifts to a regular basis. Paul advised the Corinthians, on the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come. Third, we're to make our gifts joyfully. People shouldn't give to the Lord grudgingly. If you don't give it joyfully, don't give it at all. Keep it for yourself. God don't really need it. Give to the Lord joyfully. People who give grudgingly, solely from a sense of duty, do not truly open up their lives to God. Prosperity, the joy in our hearts about giving, is a direct expression of our trust in God to meet our needs. God don't. I mean, if somebody offers you a gift and they acting mean and really trying to hold the gift to themselves, but they say, you know, I'm just going to give this to you. I don't want it. You keep it. Nobody wants you to give a gift to them. If you really don't want it, give it. Keep it for yourself. I mean, we feel that way, and God feels that way. We are just like God. We're made in God's image. God gets angry. God has joy. We're made in God's image. And when he made us, God didn't say good. God said very good. You know, this is beautiful on tithing and giving and what God expects. I'm going to turn this back over to Pastor Bridget. It says, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Worship Amen. The Lord in the beauty of holiness.
What a word, Mother, on giving. So many times folks want to begrudgingly give to God. You got to want to give to God from your heart. And you got to give what you can give, too. You know, there are some times where you can't give as much as you want to give because maybe your income went down. But, you know, you want to give more. And then you think, Lord, help me because I want to give you more. And, you know, God knows our hearts. He knows our spirits. He knows everything about us. And what we have to do is just pray, look up, lift up, giving all to God what belongs to God. So just thank God for another day. Thank him for his grace. Thank him for his mercy. Thank him for everything. And give your tithes and offerings. Pay your tithes, pay your offerings. Give what you can to God because God always gives more to you. And sometimes you got to stretch. You got to stretch a little bit. You know, stretch and give it to God. But God does not want you to go homeless, though. If it comes down to whether you're going to be homeless or not, I think God understands everything. And he will provide what you need to give. So let's keep it moving, y'all. Psalms 29:1-6. And I do have a prayer this morning. Time permitting, I'll read it at the end of our service today. And we're just going to call it a service, Mother, because we're in the presence of God, and we're going to call it a
Amen.
Church service. We're just doing church over the internet and over the waves. Hallelujah. And the word that God gave me, and again, before I go forth, Father God, forgive me for anything that I may have said, I may have done, I may have spoken, Lord God. Clean my heart, clean my mind, clean my spirit. Lord God, remove anything unlike you. Remove distractions, God. Take away anything that will take away my focus from you. In Jesus' name, amen. And the word of God, it says, us of David. And I love this 29th Psalm. It says, give unto, here we go, Mother, talking about giving to God. Give unto the Lord, O you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. God wants our tithes and our offering, but God wants our hearts. God wants our worship. God wants our praise. God wants everything about us. He wants us to be able to give it back to him. Because when you give and dedicate yourself to God, believe me, God gives you more than you could ever imagine. Because he's just that kind of God. And it says the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The glory of God, the God of glory, thunders. The other night, my grandson and I were coming home. It was Tuesday after we had this beautiful, beautiful day. It rained. And when I say it rained, it poured. And, you know, and then it turned colder. 82, as Mother said, to 22 on yesterday. And, you know, he and I made it home, but we could look into the horizon and we could see the thunder coming. And I said, oh, wow. I said, we got to get home. I said, because it looks like it's going to rain. And rain started. We had just made it into the garage and made it into the house, and we heard the thunder. And then we could hear the rain coming down. And I looked at him. I said, God is so good, isn't he? He said, yeah. I said, we didn't get wet. I said, we didn't get cold. God did that. I said, so we always need to make sure we tell God thank you. And so I always read him some type of positive word, you know, whether it's a prayer or it's his Bible. But I try to put something in him every time he stays with me that he gets a word from the Lord. And so he has a prayer book, and the Lord's prayer is in it, but it's broken down for a six-year-old. Our younger child, but it always says, you know, and it tells you, and it says at the end, Lord, protect me from the evil one. And I thought, you know, and he says, and he shakes his head like a little old man, like, yeah, I understand, Grandma, I understand. And I love that, you know, that he loves the word of God. And when I let him out, I always turn on a prayer,
on his way to school so he can hear, you know, a word from God and also a prayer so that when he goes to school, it helps him to be better in school. And I've noticed that when he goes to school after we do our prayer, our word of affirmation, or just something to build up, I will be good, I will study hard because I'm a child of God. And simple, I will be good, I will study hard, I am a child of God. You know, and that gives us an understanding. So when we think about the glory of God and the thunder, so the God of glory thunders, the Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful, Mother. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. Yes, the Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. He makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Sharon like a young wild ox. What a mighty God we serve. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. How, what a, I just get so filled up thinking about how majestic and how good God is, because he takes us higher. He takes us where we need to go. He's just that good. And when we go into our proverb this morning, it says in Proverbs 10 and 22 and 25, and it says, the blessing of the Lord makes one rich. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow. Evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. Praise God this morning. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Again, the 29th Psalm, verse 2. And it says, we should never think of God's holiness as cold or cruel. Although God's holiness sets him apart as the only one worthy of our worship, it should never drive us away from him. Rather, God's holiness is our guarantee that God will always act in a loving, trustworthy, and honorable way toward us. How good he is. And then when we go into our New Testament word today, you know, it says in Mark 7, 1 through 13, then the Pharisees and some of the scribes came together to him having come from Jerusalem. Now when they saw some of his disciples eat bread with defiled, unwashed hands, they found fault. And I'm just going to be quite honest. Talk about ourselves. I'm talking about me. If I saw somebody eating with nasty hands, I would probably have that same kind of hypocritical reaction, because I get kind of germophobic when it comes to hands. And I know my hands get dry because I wash them all the time. You know, because once you have COVID, you understand that it is no joke. And so you have a tendency to wash your hands. You have a tendency to want to keep your hands clean because you don't want to get an infection, even though it is God that protects us. God protects us in our coming in. God protects us in our going out. God protects us. And if you can't wash your hands, God will protect you if you have to eat. You know, sometimes you are maybe in a situation. You may be in a situation where you are eating because you're hungry and you don't know where you are. You know, I was a camper, and there are times where you don't have water and you have to make do, and you have to give it to God and say, Lord, I give it to you. I remember, Mother, I think a 5-second rule. If you drop something on the floor, or if you drop something, you pick it up, shake it off, and you eat it anyway. Because I give it to you guys. I give it to you guys. Because I am not going to waste this food. You know, and so they were looking at them with their nasty hands. And it said, that is with unwashed hands they found fault. And we, again, calling it like it is today. We would find fault with somebody sitting down to eat and not washing their hands. So the first thing you tell your children when they come for the dinner, wash your hands, wash your face.
Amen.
You know, and then, and it says, for the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they wash their hands in a special way, holding the tradition of the elders. When they came from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And there are many other things which they have received in whole, like the washing of cups, pitchers, copper vessels, and couches. Then the Pharisees and scribes asked them, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat bread with unwashed hands? He answered and said to them, well, did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written? The people honor me with their lips. Come on now, mother. The Lord knows how to put you all up in your place. The people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching a doctrine that commandments of men. And again, I read an article dealing with different laws and rules, and it was this one, it's like a fable, or I guess we could call it a parable. And it talked about these rabbis who were saying, we are bigger and better than God. We have power over the earth. And so what they did was they were given all these rules. And then when the Lord came down and they were talking to a prophet that said that you're wrong. And they said, well, if you are a prophet of God, tell these trees to fall down. And the man said, trees fall down. And then he said, well, if there is a God, tell him to have the trees stand back up. And the man of God said, Lord, and the trees stood back up. And then it came down to, well, if there's a God, then we need water. Can you put a well right here? And water appeared out of the heavens. And so everything that God said that he would do, he did. And then after all of the miracles and all of the wonders that God showed them, they said, we're still in charge. And that is how people act. They ask and they ask of God, and God provides, and they still appreciate the blessings. They still don't appreciate the miracles. They still don't appreciate the mighty God that he is. And so it's like you make all these man-made commandments. A woman can't do this. A woman, it's always a woman. Have you noticed that, mother? A woman can't, a woman can't, a woman can't, a woman can't,
amen.
A woman can't. You know, what about what a man can't do? You know, I always think about the woman caught in the act of adultery. She wasn't
amen.
Committing adultery by herself.
Amen. She can't commit adultery herself.
No, she wasn't committing adultery by herself, but she was the one that was ready to stone. Well, shouldn't they have? Because in the Word of God, when we read it in the first five mothers, doesn't it say that if caught in the act of adultery, both of them are supposed to be stoned, right? So what
amen.
Happened to him being stoned, it became her being stoned. So we got to remember all of these things, man-made rules, you know, man-made rules in the church, man-made rules in homes, man-made rules in everything, you know, man-made rules on how a woman can and cannot take care of her body. You know, it's amazing that, you know, we have so many rules and regulations made by men, but note that none of the rules affect them. None of them affect them.
Amen.
And I always think, I said, I understand that God is the head and then the man and then the woman. We understand that. But I do believe that God has given us all free will and autonomy. And, you know, and it's amazing how you have so many people, Mother, you know, having hissy fits about reproductive rights of women. I personally am a pro-life person. I believe that the Lord knitted us in our mother's womb. That is my faith. That is what I believe. But I also understand, because I also had a miscarriage. And in this time and in this day, I could have been arrested than that God did, because of man-made laws and man-made rules. And that is what's scary. And, you know, and I thought about as I'm looking at this word, we come up with stuff. This is not from God. This is something from men. And when we go from things from men, hold on just a moment, Mother. Hold on just a moment.
Okay. God is
hallelujah.
Good.
You know, go ahead, Mother.
God is just good all the time. I was thinking about the tithing and giving. You cannot outgive God. You know, the more you give to God, the more he's going to give to you.
Yes.
God is just good. Yes. And he wants us to obey. Give to God the tithe that he have told you to give. If you want
give
to give
to
more,
God,
you can.
Period. You
Amen.
Know, Mother, I like to say, give to God your time, your talent, and your tenth, the three T's, time, talent, tenth. When you give to God your time, when you give to God your talent, when you give to God your tenth, watch God work in your life. And then when it says this, this is what Jesus said about man-made things. He says, for laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men, the washing of pitchers and cups and many other things, such things you do. He said to them, all too well, you reject the commandment of God that you may keep your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father, come on now, and your mother. And he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, gift to God, then you no longer let him do anything for his father or his mother, making the word of God of no effect through your tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. In other words, if I'm trying to help my mother because she's in need, but I may not have enough to pay as much into the church in my offering. I'm not talking tithe. I'm talking offering. You know, but I'm going to take from my mother who may need to give an offering because I want it to be seen. Come on now. That offering that you give to your mother or your father or somebody that's in need, that's where it's going to go and do more than you being seen that you gave X number of dollars. God does not want to be seen. You know, I remember as a child, Mother, in my church, they used to put in the announcement on the Sunday how much you put in offering. Such and such gave X number of dollars in offering. Such and such gave, it used to be all up in the bulletin. And it was dealing with your conference claim. So you paying towards your conference claim, and it's saying that how much you gave towards your conference claim. All up in everybody's business. What if somebody only could give 10 cents? Are them two mites like the widow? But yet all your business is put in there. Well, they only gave $5. But then you have doctors and lawyers that are in your church, and they may have given $1,000. So what happens is folks started gravitating to the ones that gave more because they had more to give. Because it's in the bulletin for everybody to know what you gave in church. And, you know, God, that is not what God is about. He is not about all of the show. You know, you have folks that give just to be seen. Giving to be seen. You give from your heart. You give to God from your heart. God loves a cheerful giver. Isn't that what it says in our word, Mother? That the Lord loves
Amen.
A cheerful giver. And when we go into Mark chapter 7 and 6, it says, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God doesn't want us just talking about it. He wants us to be about it. It says, beware of Christian leaders who appear to be very religious by their actions, but who are really glorifying themselves rather than God. Mm. We should never honor anyone. Catch this. Catch it. We got to catch it. We should never honor anyone above God. Only he is truly worthy of our praise. We should never
Amen.
Honor anyone over God. And we have people that put people on pedestals. People, not God, but people. You have folks that go to church for the pastor. But if the pastor leaves, the church falls apart. The pastor leaves, everybody follows. Say you have, I know where I was going, living in Chicago. And a church, a Baptist church, had an indoctrine, a split. In just people. And so this one young pastor, he wound up taking half the congregation with him as he started another church. Now understand, I believe that he did with God because they would not elevate him in the church that he was in. Now he had done a whole lot of work. He had brought in so many people into the church, but you had the deacon's board who didn't want him to be the pastor. So they didn't allow it, voted against him. You know, oh, he's an upstart, he's a this or that, kind of like what they did, you know, in the time of John the Baptist and Jesus. You know, same kind of situation where, you know, they upstarts, they this, they that, even though they're preaching the word of God and doing what they're supposed to do. And so this young pastor, he left. And a whole, like half of the congregation left with him. And I have to say, the tithers, big time tithers, left with him. And God blessed him. Say you know someone is of God and that God ordained what happened. This person wound up having one of the biggest churches in Chicago.
My Lord.
Because they listened to God and they got out of all of the doctor's foolishness. All of the stuff that was being poured on because he didn't preach what they wanted to hear. You know, you have pastors getting kicked out of their churches by the deacon board because they are preaching what God told them to preach, but not what the deacons won't preach. Because if you preach this prosperity ministry word, then more people going to give. Because they're going to give because they believe they're going to get more. But if you start preaching about hell and damnation and revelations and you start preaching all this other stuff, folks ain't going to give. They're going to be scared and ain't going to want to give. So you need to tone down that salvation stuff. You need to tone down that, come on, you will be held up. We will be held accountable if we don't speak the truth of God. We've got to tell the truth. And this is what I have a prayer this morning and a word from Sister Carolyn, Mother. And it says this, change is good. Anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. You know, but when we go to King James, because I like King James for 2 Corinthians. You know, King James is, you know, and New King James, which is basically the same thing. And I have watched and read and compared and highlighted. You know, but when we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, which is a powerful, powerful word. You know, when we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to go down to verse number 17. And it says this, and we all know this scripture, but I'm going to read it from the word. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things
Amen.
Are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
all things have become new. And that's what we have to think. But it says we have to be what? In Christ. That's the main thing. We have to be in Christ. We have to belong to Christ. And, you know, the NLT says this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has begun. We got to be in Christ. And then it tells us in our prayer this morning, and it says, loving God, you are in the business of restoration. When you bring new life, you don't simply spruce up a few things or smooth out some rough edges. You do a full-scale remodel. Everything gets a major upgrade. Thank you that this is what you do in me, where I have been stuck in old patterns. Would you remind me that those are not my identity? They are not who I am in you. Breathe fresh life into me today. Rejuvenate what feels dusty and old. I know that I belong to you, and that means I have your spirit within me, Spirit of God. I invite you to continue to change me into your likeness, making my heart more tender and open as you increase my capacity to love like you. There is no way I could remain the same as I have been. I am connected to your life, and your life gives me everything I need. Thank you that there is nothing lacking today. In order to continue to grow, you are more than enough. Woo! And it says this, are there areas you have felt stuck in that you want to see change? And I can say, yes, Lord, I like that. I want to change. And I have to tell God, yes, yes, Lord, yes. There are some things that I need to change in my life. There are all of us that have things we need to change in our life because God is in charge and he loves us. And a word from our sister in Christ, Sister Carolyn, this morning is this. Good morning. Those who leave, come on now, mother. You know how sister loves to just come on into the spiritual wind with us. And the word Amen. That she gave us for today is this. Those who leave everything in God's hand, come on, will eventually see God's hand in everything. Have a thankful Thursday. Amen. Everything. Give unto the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Hallelujah. Thanking God for another day. Thanking God for all of you. Just thanking God for just being who he is. Awesome and mighty. And, you know, we have to do what we need to do for God. Trust him. Believe in him. Love him. And watch him work. Because God does not want us to be stuck in the muck and the mire. He wants us to be lifted up, picked up, and to know who we belong to. And we belong to him. Thank you, thank you, thank you, family. Mother Valerie. May the Amen. Lord watch between me and thee while we are absent, one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over all of you who are listening this morning. Pray for each other. Trust God and believe things work together for good. Have a blessed and wonderful day, family. Keep you me in your prayers as I travel these highways and byways, and that I be safe traveling back home. Thank you, thank you, Amen. Thank you. Love you, Mother Valerie. Love you, Sister Teresa. Thank you for joining us this morning, Evangelist. Evangelist only speaks when God gives her a word. If God don't give her a word, she's not going to speak. So I thank you, Evangelist. I see you out there. I see all of you out there. And I thank God for you. Have a blessed and wonderful day, Mother Valerie, and all that are listening. It is a wrap because I got to go to work. And I got to take a little boy to school.
It's a wrap.
So it is a wrap. Hallelujah.
It's a wrap.
Thank you, Jesus. And guess what? I will be blogging tomorrow from Kentucky. So thank you, thank you, thank you, God willing.
Make sure you button up. It's 20 degrees. Button up.
Mother Valerie, I am going to be layered up. I got the vest. I got the sweatshirt. I got the undershirt. I got the, you know, I got the long stuff. You know, got it all.
You'll be okay.
So, yes, ma'am.
You'll be all right.
Bundled up. Because it's going to be cold down south, too. So it's going to be cold wherever I go this weekend. So just thank you, God, that I have sweaters, I have coats, and I'm all good. Thank you, God. Have a great day, family. Be blessed and know that you are highly favored by God. And remember who he is, and that give unto the Lord the glory due his name, the Lord, in the beauty of holiness. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
Thank you, Rita. Have a great day, family.